Welcome to Integrative You Radio, hosted by Dr. Nick Carruthers and yours truly, Dr. Nicole Rivera. This is the place where you become limitless. We are covering the latest and greatest topics, of course, in a disruptive fashion, around integrative medicine, mental health, and human behavior. We are also covering how those topics affect the human and family dynamics. We will be sprinkling in some truth bombs for our healthpreneurs so they can join us in our mission to evolve healthcare. If you are health curious and growth focused, you are in the right place. But buckle up, because this is real, this is raw, and this is disruptive. This is Integrative You Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Integrative You Radio. We are blessed for the second time to be here with Tyler from BaseForge. If you haven't, check him out on his social media. I follow him. I think look at his post every single day that he's putting up there. He likes to be a little disruptive and controversial. So if that intrigues you, definitely check him out. And with that, I got introduced to Tyler. Early on, I got his original Codex Esoterica, and he just released or is just about to release the sequel to that. Is that about to?
Yes.
So with that, that is going to be deeper into symbolism. And with that launch, we are going to talk about all the aspects of health, but in a way that you've probably never heard about. So when we think about health, we think about treating this physical body. We think about exercise and what should we eat, the biochemistry of it. And we put so much damn effort into this physical body. But what's wild is that our body's 99.999999% space. So it's actually not physical at all, but we've been tricked to putting so much effort, energy into absolutely nothing. So with that, you've all been fooled. So pay attention, because we're going to get deep into what the body really is, its space, and its quantum. So Tyler, you knowing a lot more about the quantum realm, the quantum physics than most people, we're going to start out keeping it simple. What is the quantum realm?
I'm going to start off by saying I'm not an expert. I don't have a degree in quantum science. I just look at it a lot.
Nobody, even the experts with quantum science, quantum mechanics, they're like, nobody knows anything.
They do an experiment and they're like, okay, we knew this one thing, now we have 99 other questions. So it's like, okay, well, we're all in the same boat, just relax, it's not that serious. And honestly, I think, so I went to school for engineering, you know, like the quantum whole, the side of that in terms of like just learning it is so much easier than traditional physics and stuff too. The quantum, it's just like there's pretty simple rules. It makes a lot of questions, but it's not like you need to know calculus. If you're researching quantum, yeah, but you don't need to have a basis of all of this knowledge to understand what's going on. And I think that's why it's becoming such a huge topic to talk about now, is because it is very easily explainable to most people. But in terms of the raw basics of it, it's, you know, the particles that make up atoms. That's the whole project of CERN, particle colliders, is to discover what the space that, you know, we're 99.99% of, what's going on in there, what's happening.
So one way to think about it would be, if I understand what you're saying, is like the quantum realm is understanding the space that actually dictates the expression of the Newtonian particle.
Correct. Yeah. That'd be a good way of explaining it. I think the problem is you get, it's the same with a religion or something. No Christian believes the same thing as another Christian, right? They all have their different perspectives on it. Or it's the same with anything. I just use Christianity as an example, but
same with person to person, even in all the individuals, yeah, in Christianity, everybody's got a different,
exactly,
viewpoint.
Yeah. 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 You ask one pastor, what does this passage mean? And then another one is going to tell you a completely different thing. So, I feel like it's kind of getting there with the quantum world. Whenever I post something about it, I have people that really enjoy it. And then I have the people that are in university studying quantum stuff saying, that's not how it works. And I'm like, okay, maybe mathematically by a decimal percentage, I'm off on my explanation here, but for the rest of the world that's trying to understand this, it works, you know? And they have a problem. I think the communities are kind of butting heads right now, because the quantum people are like, no, this is where you're studying the universe and reality and stuff. And then the spiritual people are like, yeah, so are we. And then both of them are coming together and they're talking about the same thing. And then, but they're both going, no, but this is about this and this is about this, but they're exactly the same. You're doing the same stuff.
Yep.
So the spiritual side of quantum is the practical side, in my opinion. And we have obviously quantum computers and stuff that we'll see if that's actually good for humanity or not. But the spiritual side,
it's going to be an interesting time for sure.
Exactly. For everyday people, what you're doing and what I'm trying to explain on my channel, that's for people to use for their normal, you know, you could say mental health, regular health, physical health. It's a concept that makes things a lot easier to make decisions with in that sense.
So let's start out with that. So like, why does understanding the quantum and the ability to use it serve you?
Well, this is where we're going on the spiritual side here. Everyone uses the entanglement thing, right? Like where they say quantum entangled particles, or if you measure this one, you can measure its entangled partner. There's no communication between that. I want to make that very clear. And a lot of people on my social channels get riled up because the spiritual community is running with that. They're saying it's entangled. So, you know, you can sit here and meditate and manifest a Lamborghini in your driveway. You can't do that. It's breaking the rules. There's a law called the no communication theorem, I think. And it means that you cannot pass information. You can just tell the state of a quantum particle that's entangled with another particle. Right. So essentially, they would be used as transistors. It's like the best way I can explain it. Like a transistor saves the state of a circuit in a computer, right? That's how logic gates work and how the computers process information. And that's the concept within quantum quantum computing is the ability to use that as a tool, right? But what they're doing is the research community is taking this and saying, here's the tech we can create with it. And the spiritual community is saying, no, you are the tech. We don't need it for the tech necessarily as much as we need it for fixing this, which we are the tech. That's I'm trying to say that as well in all of my stuff, and making the connections between those is pretty difficult. But if you understand that you have far more control of your health and your body and your thoughts, your emotions, all of that than you're told by everybody, then that gives the power back to you. And that's always been my goal, is like get the information to the people that need it and that can't get it. And this stuff is so engaging that I think it's one of the better, like cymatics, it's a better gateway of teaching people than like traditional schools, universities and stuff like that are going about it.
Well, I think what the beautiful part is when we can actually take a step back, we can see that we actually need both to occur. And we need both to occur simultaneously. Because you can't have one without the other. So we need the tech to be able to gain the conscious awareness of creation outside of us. But anything outside of us is actually, we can just better understand the inside of us.
Yes, exactly. And that's what this is really cool, because it's taking these modern concepts and this research that's taken literally the entire planet coming together and making a research facility that can understand and map out these patterns that these particles are making when they hit each other. And all of this research that's going into it is really unbelievable. It's unprecedented. There's been nothing other than like the space station and stuff like that, that where countries have come together to be like, let's figure this out. And that I think is the beautiful side of the tech. But then we have, you know, the potential of the runaway side, where if the tech gets too developed and, you know, someone says, hey, AI, here's a quantum computer, now we're screwed. You know, so there's an ethical component to it, but I don't really like focusing on that part as much as like,
I could argue that we'd equally be set free as well.
Also true. Yeah. Depends on your perspective on that one. But I feel like most people would have a lot of fear towards that instead of it's a potential for, you know, something great. So I'm trying to dispel the fears a little bit too, while having faith in the people that are doing this, that they have good intentions, you know. But there
maybe at the end we'll talk more about the tech, or maybe that'll just be a conversation for you and I to have, you know, behind the scenes. We'll keep this one focused on the health. So on the health side, you know, as we jumped on and we chatted beforehand, you know, using literally everything that you love, symbolism, sacred geometry, little bit of cymatics with it. My listeners will probably know, but I'm a little stuffy right now. So with that being said, I have this awesome water container that we have a water distiller. So we're putting 100% pure water into this glass flower of life. It's like holds, I think, 3 gallons. And there is it's the same gentleman, Dr. Zach Bush. Have you heard of him?
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's fucking genius. So, and he just explains very deep, complex things. It makes it very simple. And he was talking about how, and it's like, you know things, but then you hear it one way and you're like, I need to take action on this. Mm-hmm. So I knew this, that water needs to be in motion. If water's anything stagnant, it's not living. All life is actually in a constant state of motion. Even stagnant water is actually moving. But if we actually physically get that moving, it's going to be more alive. So I thought back, like, well, how can I get this water moving? Went back to Kim class. Actually, I went to in a meditation. I'm like, oh, Kim class, we had these magnetic stir plates that we put beakers on to be able to stir. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to find a big one of these guys. And I did. I found a big one, put that glass jar on it, created a vortex, little tornado, spin the water. It's amazing. Tastes even different. But then one day I look at it and the sun's coming through and it hits like the tornado in the middle. And like all the flower of life just kind of lights up in my eyes and activates part of my brain. I'm like, whoa, what was that? Because when I meditate, I usually don't see or even focus on a lot of sacred geometry, which I'm probably going to be changing that a little bit now to parts of it. And yesterday I did a meditation. So I do a hypnotic induction, got myself to pretty much like get into the quantum. But then I had myself stay in that with my eyes open, focusing on this glass jar that has the flower of life sketched into it. And I'm allowing the sun to pass through that, hit the vortex, come through the glass, reflective flower of life. And I'm allowing myself to not attach to anything, just to see what I see and allow it to pass. And I would see, you know, the individual circle flower of life. I'd go through and I'd see a cube. I'd see multiple cubes. And I would see those cubes with the lines through it going, looking like the tree of life in there, being able to see that, see the vortex equally spinning in me. It was like crazy trippy. And I wasn't doing any drugs. This was all natural. And today I wake up and I'm crazy stuffy. I'm just like, my brain's detoxing. It's activated. I woke up like not depressed, but I'm like, I'm not me right now. I gotta like reground, meditate. And so explain that to people.
So I want to, you touched on so many things I want to touch on too. So your experience there is like by far not unique. I've had so many people that have had experiences, whether, you know, sober or psychedelic, where the shapes, they do stuff, you know, they can't explain in words what the shapes are doing, but I'll try and put it into like some simple terms here. Like if you look at a foreign language, you can't read that language, right? Like it just looks like a bunch of words. Like
I barely understand English. Yeah. It's same.
But if you ask somebody that knows that language, hey, look, what does this mean? They can tell you all about what it means, right? Because they have the letters mean something to them.
Yep.
When you look at geometric forms, they don't mean things unless you can explain what they mean, right? Like for you, the flower of life there was, you obviously know its spiritual significance. But it has a deep geometric significance. Like all of our measurements come from that. Like our basis for measurements. You can derive all of the Platonic solids from Metatron's cube, which is made from the flower of life. So there's a lot of symbology that's encoded in these things. But if someone's seeing it, like if they saw your thing, I have a similar one. It doesn't have the flower of life around it. It's like a really cool shaped vase.
Yeah.
And it spins. And every time people come over to my house, they're like, what is that? And I have to explain it. And
it's like, a good conversation starter.
It's great. But yours too is even more interesting because people see that and then they see it in this thing. And to, I'm sure the vast majority of people, they'd be like, oh, that's just a decorative holder for your water, you know, container.
But there's what it means. So there's a symbology to it, you know? So one, we have a conscious connection with the symbols. And then two, we have the conscious connection with the water. And it, you know, this, if you don't have water for, what is it, like 2 days, you die? 2-3 days? Yep. Absolutely vital. So why is it that every single ancient culture had a way of purifying their water and keeping it in motion? You'll see in a lot of ancient architecture, they have these, they look like little vortexes on the ground, and it's where the water flows from a spring, which is a natural filter. Your filters in your home, if you have like a Brita or a Zero or something, they're layers of rock. The water travels through the layers of the different minerals that they put in there, and it filters out all of the bad stuff, and then you get the pure water at the bottom of it. So not only did they do that, but then as soon as it was purified, they put it in motion. In a 90% of the time, it's some sort of Fibonacci or a spiral or some pattern that has it rotating in the sun too. That's very important.
Yep.
And if you look at a lot of the research on easy water, exclusion zone. Yeah. Exclusion zone water, then you have a ton of energy compacted into water that is aligned perfectly. I always say it's like a Tetris game. If you're dropping Tetris blocks into, you know, your guy and you're not good at it, you're going to have all these gaps in there, right? Where the Tetris blocks aren't going to fit. If you align all of them and you have a perfect Tetris game, you win, then all of them fit together perfectly within the space, right? That's exactly.
In my meditation, I saw that reflection of myself, because I saw the cubes, you know, not just one cube, but I saw multiple voxels, multiple cubes together. And then I was like, I saw that just being me. Oh, that was my matrix. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so trippy.
they have a thing in construction where when they're pouring concrete, foundations on concrete, especially in high-rise buildings, they have these rods that they stick into the concrete and they vibrate at a very, very high frequency. And what it does is when you pour concrete, it's obviously rock and water and a bunch of whatever they mix in the concrete, their personal mixture. When it sits, there's bubbles, there's air gaps within that concrete. And if you have those gaps, that can create problems with the structure. It can create foundation problems, cracks. We don't want this, especially for high-rise buildings. So they stick these rods in there, and they'll do a floor, and they'll stick these rods in there, and then they let these rods shake the concrete into a compact with no air bubbles form. If you see exposed concrete in like any big building, if you run your hand on it, there's no, it's not like stone. There's no, you know, bumps or deformations at all. It is as finely compacted in there as they can possibly get. And that's exactly what's going on. And when you combine that with how much light energy can we put into this water, right? Like we don't even have to talk about that. I feel like easy water now should be pretty as well known as quantum, but I come across people every day that don't really understand the concept of it. But you get a lot of energy. You get it from food, but you also get a vast amount from water. There's literally light in water. So
yeah, what is it, Dr. If listeners don't know about it, Dr. Jared Pollock, he wrote a book called The Fourth Phase of Water. It all goes through easy water. It's a liquid gelatinous quartz crystalline structure. So when you think about it, if you get cut, you bleed blood, but you're not bleeding any water because it's gelatinous. It's a crystalline structure.
Oh, you froze up.
I don't know if you froze or I froze. One of us froze.
Hard.
I think it might have been me.
Oh. I'm just going to wait this one out. Maybe. I don't even know if I'm still good.
You still there?
Yeah. Did you go on a long rant? Because I heard none of it.
Until I realized it. And then I was like, oh, fuck. I'm just frozen. Somebody's frozen. I have no idea where I left off either.
Well, we can just pick back. I last heard Pollock's work, and that's who I was trying to think of in my head. That he is
so
an amazing amount of resources.
So if you haven't learned about what the fuck are we even talking about right now?
Easy
water.
Exclusion zone water.
Exclusion zone. Yeah. For the listeners out there that are interested and haven't done a deep dive into exclusion zone. Dr. Gerald Pollack, he wrote the book, The Fourth Phase of Water. It's an easy read, and he gets deep into understanding how it's created, why it's created by the body and nature. But an easy way to think about it is it's a quartz crystalline structure. It's gelatinous. And what's fun about understanding that is it's a major form of how information, energy, talking about the quantum realm, actually travels through the body. So our fascia is also a quartz crystalline structure, and it's really a form of easy water when you think about it. It is a quartz structure which is constantly rotating, and that constantly rotating is that hexagon. So it actually makes like a vacuum tunnel, and that's what our meridian structures are. So our meridians is just these highways for non-physical information to be running through, and that runs through this easy water.
Well, you can even take it back even more simple than that. What does energy travel fastest through? It's a solid. So the closer we can get to a solid, which is, you're getting thicker water in the gelatinous substance here, you can transmit whatever you're transmitting, vibration or anything on the electromagnetic spectrum. And this also plays into why saunas are so good for you, because the infrared is treating your whole body like your water imploder that you have. It's fusing it with that, with it's making you easy water. It's turning you into that.
Yep.
And obviously we all know the health benefits to that as well. That's why they have saunas and gyms and spas and everything. And that's why they've been used since Roman times and probably before that.
Most likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to go on a side tangent, but I have to say this just to spark interest in some people. As you said, energy flows, would you say the fastest, the easiest through solid?
Most efficiently. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tesla, his theory on like creating quote unquote free energy, nothing's free. I mean, there's always a give and take to something. But when they tried to reproduce it, they proved that, it didn't work because they were trying to do it through the air. But that's actually not what he was trying to do. He was trying to make it actually go through the earth, which is conductive agent, and it worked efficiently.
That's why all cathedrals are above water. The pyramids are above water. Everything is above. It's connected to the ground, and it's connected to a water source. And there's a very, very, very important reason for that. And Tesla was researching this. That's why it's his tower, if you look at the diagram, had a... His ground was like as tall as the tower was, like it went into the ground that far. It's because that was the method of transmission. It wasn't wireless. What we're doing now is wireless, and it's very inefficient.
Yep.
The molecules of air are very, very spread apart compared to water or anything solid, right? That's basic physics. So he was just playing on the efficiencies of nature, and in my opinion, that where we're kind of lacking right now is not, we're saying humans do it this way. This is how we've always done it. Like, okay, well, every major breakthrough has been pretty much copying nature, at least what the ancients knew about nature. We're just rediscovering things, So the more we look into that, I think is probably going to be one of the great advancements of our time, is actually realizing how to look at Tesla's work and how to look at these people's, when we said they were crazy, maybe we only looked at it through that lens. Now we have the internet, we have all these things that can connect all this information, and the insights there are probably going to be light years faster than what we have been, doing for the last 2,000 years.
Well, and that's just, we take that for the energy aspect to, use it to power everything around us, but we can do that same thing with ourselves because we're just a big battery as well.
Yeah. And back to your imploder, the flower of life thing with the light reacting off of it. I thought that was really cool that you said that they were, it's creating those patterns in the cubes and stuff, because a lot of people see that and I get my inbox is flooded with people that just say, I have this experience and you're the only one that can explain it. And I'm like, maybe just like, here's some books though. there's patterns. And if you know what the patterns are, then those things start to make sense. Right. Like the interplay of what was going on there is such a multi-layered thing too. It's not just the light creating a cool, geometry. You know, it was hitting that vortex, which was hitting the glass, which was refracting the light into the spectrum of color, and the spectrum of color was interacting with itself to create the geometries that you were seeing in your eyes. So a simple thing that could just be explained with, oh, that was just the water reflecting off that. No, it wasn't. It was, there's so much going on there that, that to the person that's not, that, that doesn't see the patterns, it's just the reflection of light. But when you see that and you can put that together, then you have a more, I would call it mystical or more powerful experience, because you're like, holy crap, that was, well, that was
and
nature.
I woke up today and my, like, my brain is definitely wired differently. My sinuses are all congested. Like, it released things. It's like, I'm a different person today than I was yesterday.
He's a new man.
I was like, I'm going to give it a couple days and do it again.
Yeah. That's the power of, I would say all of geometry, because sacred geometry is kind of a trigger word to people that aren't into like the meaning behind the geometry. I think there's kind of a stigma still.
We're here to trigger people. Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool. Well, sacred geometry, the once you know the uses for the symbols, why they are the symbols, what the symbols are, then everything has an entirely, your view of the world becomes different, because then you start to see these things in nature. You start to see the, you know, the Sierpinski fractals in the trees. You start to see all of the, you know, scale and variance of how a mountain range can look the same as a, you know, eroded little piece of dirt on the ground. They have similar qualities because their geometries are similar, and it doesn't matter what scale you're viewing it at. They act the same because fundamentally on the quantum level, that geometry is always the same. It just depends on the particular, you know, manifestation of energy. Like, how much energy is contained within a solid is much more, you know, dense than how much energy is contained within a gas. Like, there's a comparison there that you have to, you know, navigate around. But realizing that they're all one and starting off with that basis of geometry can give you experiences in everyday life that are more profound than, you know, the best movie you've ever watched. It's a completely different way of looking at the world. And that's why I think it's really important to get it out. And that's why I'm writing the book, is because if you know what you're looking at, then it gives you more of a sense of peace too. Like, you're not trying to find your way through the world. You're not trying to figure out what's going on, how it all interacts. It's like, it's all one thing. If you can make it all one thing, it's all easier to learn.
So it sounds like when you're, I mean, who was the, speaking of blanket names, Know Thyself. I forget who said mm-hmm. it, but that's what this journey is about, is like knowing thyself and knowing that nothing is separated, that we're actually all one thing working together. Yeah. And understanding that journey, that allows us to change our perception of not only who we are, but the world around us, and getting out of fear and getting out of worry and anxiety and these things that are just feedback mechanisms mm-hmm. to create us to say, like, hey, let's get present with what's actually the truth, who you are, what the world really is. And then when we can do that, we can actually be grateful for who we are and be grateful for the world.
Well, you just said there too, what's the number, I think it's the number one. So what's the number one cause for pretty much all illness? Stress. That's the go-to. When you can't get a diagnosis that's like, okay, you 100% positively have cancer, or you 100% positively have the flu. Like, the default is, are you stressed? You know, like, are you, how what's your day-to-day life like? What's your lifestyle like? That's,
well, and we say bullshit on that because, like, they don't have an idea, but it's actually like, thank God we're coming to acknowledge this finally.
Seriously. It's been ignored for so long because it's just been a kind of, I would say it's like a survival mindset. It's like, if you're stressed out, just bite the bullet. You got to do it to survive, you know, like that. No, you don't. Like, you don't have to stay in that mindset. You don't, no matter how bad a situation is, there's someone out there that's going to look at that same situation and find a lesson in it. There's the fact that you are perceiving it as a stressful situation is that behavior from you, or is that a conditioned behavior from someone else who also thinks that that's stress? Any problem in my life, I'm always like, okay, well, we got to fix this either way. So there's no point in worrying about it. And since I have to fix it, or I have to do something about it, what am I pulling from it? What information can I gather from this experience so that it doesn't happen again for me? And how can I help others not to encounter this as well? That's the whole point of being a good person in general, is alleviating the stresses of humanity. That's the best businesses in the world do that. The best speakers in the world do that. The best doctors in the world do that. Everyone is trying to do that.
I'll show you a recent meditation that I did. I recorded a couple of weeks ago, and it's all designed on connecting with your problem. Problems are challenges that give you an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it just takes you through that pathway to be able to figure out what that opportunity is for you, so that you're not stuck in the problem and being a victim to your reality.
I think that is a good, it should be taught to everybody first off, but getting in touch with that too, it kind of clears up your, if you're looking at it from like a Hindu perspective and your chakras, right? It kind of clears up the path for your mind to tap into the brain that's in your heart, the brain that's in your stomach, you know, the little brains we have everywhere else that provide us feedback that you wouldn't necessarily be in touch with without that, because you think it's just like, you know, I ate some bad food or something, my stomach's having a problem, and, you know, like,
well, that's a different brain talking in that past moment. It's like, hey, you should eat
exactly
this.
Now you got to listen to it. But it's doing it for a reason, right? Like, you're not, your stomach isn't upset just because it's like, I don't personally prefer this food. Something's probably wrong with the food, dude. Like, you,
and that's just like the programming that, like, most of society is trying to get away from their problems, and only a few are like, let's tackle the problem because that's the best opportunity for me to change my life. Start.
For me, it was always less deep than that too. I just don't want to experience that again. I had that experience. It was a bad experience. How can I never do that again? That's been my entire life since I was 20. Like, let's just not do the stuff that's that anymore.
I kind of always get deep with everything. So yeah.
Same. But that's the lens. You got a new one now. It's like, damn, I can look at these problems in a different way.
So the quantum.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to pick your brain about is, so a lot of the time when I explain quantum, and it's not 100% correct, as I think I mentioned it before, is like going from that non-physical into the physical. So the quantum is that non-physical realm into the physical realm, what we call Newtonian physics, which mm-hmm. explains that. The quantum, it's full of every possibility, right? Mm-hmm. So with that, the ability to tap into the possibility that you want to create in the physical reality is a higher level of consciousness, because every possibility is there, right? Mm-hmm. And if we just keep going from using our past to create what that resonance is, to latch on to create that, because the resonance is the cymatics, which is bringing in the formation of the particle.
I would say it's probably the most useful tool to explain the concept of manifestation that's been kind of hijacked by people that are trying to manifest a front row parking spot at the mall. You know, like, there's a different level here. Like, the level that you're talking about is the level that the highest achievers and the people that have really moved humanity forward have tapped into, whether they were conscious of it or not. The chair you're sitting in was an idea in someone's head before they made that chair. Everything you see was an idea in someone's head before it became a reality, right? So being able to tap into that is the ability to be, is to remove ignorance, is what I would say. It's the ability to get in touch with what you actually want to do, or the vision that you have for, it could be a product or your life or a relationship or whatever, and make the decision on it. That's mm-hmm. what it really is. That is tapping into that world. We can go into the science, we can go into the esoterics, but for boots on the ground decisions and stuff, this is absolutely crucial to that. You need to facilitate an environment where you do trust that and you can make decisions, because most people aren't incapable of doing anything. They're just incapable. Yeah.
you said the word decision, and most people don't understand how powerful of a word that is. So decision comes from the word decide. Decide is to kill. Genocide, yes. Homicide, pesticide. So when you make a decision, you're killing every other option, every other possibility, and you're deciding that this is the one that I'm going to bring into formation in my life.
That is a concept that I think needs to be more. I tell this to literally everybody.
Make a fucking decision.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't mean choose. It doesn't mean choose the right one. That's where people get hung up. It's like, how do I know which is the right one? You don't. You cut off the one that you don't want to do the most. That's what it is. Do you want to do this one more? Then you cut off. That's the decision. It's not choose. That there's a word for that. It's called choice. I chose this. Decide is to have two options and kill one, like you just said. So being able to tap into that is, if you want to talk like consciously, then you're moving through dimensions. If you're existing on the third, you're touching everything around you, right? If you're existing on the fourth, you're moving through things. You're getting an experience of stuff. If you're existing on the fifth, then you're going into like a meditative state, a psychedelic state, an imaginative state, the thing that kids are trapped in because they don't have the other ones, right? So being able to access that at will is, it takes practice, and it takes being able to control your mind and not be influenced by all of the shiny objects that you have around you that came from someone's mind.
Which is hard sometimes.
Difficult, yeah.
I'm like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, my phone buzzed. Who's that? Somebody love me? Somebody? No, nobody loves me. Damn it.
It's just my new post.
It's a bill. Your water bill is ready to be paid. So we were chatting earlier. I just want to like to be able to give, because this is all awesome information, to be able to give some people some takeaways to how to start creating their life via the quantum. Because like I said, we've been taught, we've been programmed. Most of us are wasting so much fucking time, energy, and money on this physical body, which is just an effect. Mm-hmm. So you said before we came online is you want to use and you want to compound as many senses as possible, because that's just going to increase that vibration or the intensity of that feeling, that sensation, that cymatic pattern to bring that into this current reality. Can you explain that more?
So I have a concept in the very first book I wrote is Harmonic Alchemy. And that one I think is the most useful book I've ever wrote, but it's definitely not the most popular because everyone likes the info, but they don't like to actually put it into place, right? They like having the info, but it's a way different story actually doing it. There's a concept in there that I call entangled and attract. So we just talked about entanglement, right? There's two particles, or, you know, they're one spin up, one spin down. You can think about this with any problem. Every problem is on a spectrum, like wherever you say your financial situation. So you're very poor. Well, there is a version of you that is very rich. And there's a pathway to get there. So all we have to do is imagine what it would be like. Just imagine what it would be like to be very rich and, you know, have, but you have to get really, really clear on it. You know, you have to, it can't be like, I want a big house, a nice car, and all this. It has to be a very defined, I want to live at this house in this neighborhood. I want to have a red Lamborghini and all of this, you know, stuff. Like, you have to get exceptionally clear on that. Because the more clear you can get on it, the things start aligning themselves and working their way into that pathway, right? So that's the attract part. And these are, you know, self-help spirituality concepts that have been pushed for two decades now, the law of attraction and all this stuff. And so the practical side of it, though, is one, being able to stop for more than, you know, like 10 minutes, let's say, out of your day. Focus on your mind. Focus on your mind. Get your thoughts straight so that you can control your mind to see where you want to go. See where the path is going to be, right? Get very, very clear on that. That is just the entangle part. The attract part, you don't really have to worry about that too much when only if I'm sailing a ship to another, to a, you know, dock across the lake. I can see the lake. I can see the other dock. I know how to get there, right? But if you're going in the ocean and you're in uncharted territory and you're going across the sea, you need kind of a map, right? So maybe you hear a legend that there's this beautiful city across the sea and you want to go try and find it. But all you know is that it is east. And I know I've heard people talking about it. It's in the east. All I have to figure out is how to sail that ship east and keep east. And then once I get there, I'll figure out where else to go, you know, but I have to cross this vast ocean of, you know, probably rough waters. I have to have a ship that's capable of going there. I have to have the ability to navigate. I have to have a concept of where east is. That's all that's the visualization. That is the entangle. And then the attract part would be sail the ship. That's all you have to focus on. Just that. And then we go back to the decision. That all came from a decision that, okay, I want to be wealthy. I want my life to be different than it is now. All the other decisions that I could make are off the table. And now once those are off the table, I can choose to sail east and go into my, you know, find my mansion with the Lamborghini.
No, and that people don't understand how important that is. One of the reasons my wife, Dr. Nicole, and I, we stopped how we were practicing health and wellness is because people wanted to get better. They wanted to heal from their issues. But the why wasn't built in to their program. And to use that clarity of like, you're not healthy as a feedback mechanism because you're not serving your life. We have to get crystal clear and take the time to figure out what is over across the ocean for you. What do you really want in your life? And then we'll start moving in that direction. But now we've created what we call like the higher self architecture to be able to get in alignment with your higher self. What's authentic? What's most important? Who are you? Because this sick person is just, speaking of that, I have a phone vibration that goes off and it goes off so I can recalibrate my energy to that higher self, because we get busy and caught up in the doing and lessen the being. So that vibration on my phone was like, hey, asshole, stop doing for a little bit and get back into the vibration of being your true authentic self.
I have a similar thing there too. It's like, I don't meditate silently very much anymore just because I've done it for so long. I don't need the silence to really tap into that place that I can get to, you know, consciously. But I do have this exercise where so you know when little like babies are crying and they're done crying, or like toddlers, crying.
Yeah, I know.
They do that thing where it's like a breath and then a breath and then it comes back down. It's a trigger for your body. It's a nervous system reset. It's like a hack. It's a cheat code for your body. So whenever I'm like, I'm too absorbed in something, all right, I can't get my thoughts straight. I do two things. So the first one is that double breath. Like try and get as much air into my lungs as possible. And if you just go one breath, the way that your lungs work, the air goes in, right? But it's a wave, it's all a wave.
Yep.
You think about it, you breathe in, it's gonna curl. Once it hits the bottom of your lung, it's gonna curl, right? So you do one breath and then you kind of pause a little bit and then let that curl, the turbulence in your lungs settle, and then you hit that other one. And then it fills your lungs up to peak capacity, right? That's going to give you the most breath you can possibly get. And if you exhale that very, very slowly, then you get kind of it's a reset button on your body. And I do this frequently if I'm stressed out or if I'm, you know, working on a really intense project. And that's the first step. And then I kind of just take a step back. I lean back in my chair. And then in my head, I think of a light like right in the middle of my brain, right? And then that light splits off into what I can best describe as like an infinity sign. It's like a two bands. If you can imagine like the diagram of an atom orbital, you know, mm-hmm. It's kind of like that where I feel it expanding in my head. I can literally, it's like a tingly feeling in my head that I'm pretty much forcing up there to be like, okay, I had this really tight focus and I am really focusing too much on the stuff that I shouldn't be focusing on. And I need to make space for some new stuff to come in. And then that's kind of the expansion visualization that I have, but like where my brain is taking all that focus energy and then redistributing it throughout my head. And that kind of clarifies, especially if I'm working on like a really complex idea with a TikTok or something. And I'm like, no one's going to understand this. I don't know how to say this from a different perspective. So
I just wasted 3 hours there. Nobody's going to understand this.
I've done that too. I've made a whole thing and I'm like, this is shit. but if you do that, it kind of gives you, it's a perspective reset. And when you do that, you get a little bit more clarity, I would say, like a bird's eye view. I get out of the eye of the storm and get more of a bird's eye view of what's going on. You can use this for everything, you know, like projects or your whole life.
And that's, I mean, that's all meditation is. It's just a tool. Yeah. You know, we're not, we're not supposed to be meditating all day long. Like that's not, it's not expressing.
You're here to create. You're here to do stuff.
Exactly.
Learn.
Boom. So I think we've tackled the quantum pretty well. Is there anything else you'd like to share to the listeners before we sign off for this one?
There is, actually. So we're focused on the quantum stuff. If you really want to understand it, and everyone that teaches sacred geometry, geometry in general, will tell you this, you have to start drawing it. You have to start, when you see the patterns, you have to start practicing what it's like to draw the patterns. Like the way it works, the way that these the particles and stuff are distributed in what we know of quantum geometry follows really, really closely with the flower of life. If you rectify their diagrams, which when they hit a particle together, it creates an explosion like a firecracker, right? You have all of these particles flying off in the different directions. So if you take that, if those particles, that's what CERN does. It reads where those things are flying off and creates a 3D map of what happened in that collision. Well, that's just a sphere. Like all of those things popping off, the fireworks, when you watch them, they're just big old spheres, right? So they put that together and you have this complex distribution of these like micro particles, and it's in a ball. So what we can do to perceive that from a human perspective is called rectification in geometry, where if you have something in eight dimensions, like the E8 shape is in mathematics, it's a complex Lie group of these nodes, which are just corners that connect lines. There's vertexes.
The E8 lattice.
Yes. Pretty much it's a matrix, but in multiple dimensions. Rectification means to bring that down to something that we can perceive. So remove the eighth dimension all the way down to four and three dimensions, then we get something that we can see is a pattern. It's Garrett Lisi has a great TED talk on this if you're interested in watching it. But if you look at what he presents, the particle distribution, when you bring that down into a dimension that we can understand, you can throw flower of life, Metatron's cube, torus, the shape of a two-dimensional torus where there's overlapping, intersecting lines, all the particles, they fit in some point on that, that distribution. When you draw this stuff out, then it starts to make sense why it's like that. If you just start by drawing the flower of life, circles, it's the easiest thing you can draw. You just need a compass. Circles, go to the edge of the first circle, draw another circle, go to the point where those two intersect, draw another circle, keep doing that, and then you will get the flower of life. Within that, there is so much information that your brain doesn't even know that there is that much information in there. And I explain this in the book. But once you have that perception, then you can see, oh, okay, well, this is the simplest way for particles to distribute. Nature is efficient. It finds the easiest way to find harmony and balance. And when you look at these things with the knowledge of sacred geometry, then you have that perspective of why it's going on. Without drawing it, the concepts are there. It's like knowing all the things about, you know, health or fitness, and you're not going to the gym and you're not eating right. You know all this stuff, but you're not living it, right? So you don't even have to do this every day. It's not like a practice of I need to draw shapes every day. Just do it a couple times and you will start to realize that the most famous artists in the world have used techniques of geometry to create perception. That's what Da Vinci did. That's what Michelangelo did. All of the Renaissance artists like Beethoven and that, they did the same thing with music. So it's a multi-layered way of synthesizing the information that you're seeing and creating something that you can actually remember, because most of us took geometry in high school, right?
But unfortunately, it was not my favorite.
There was nobody's favorite. I hated it. I was like, why are we learning about these shapes? But every time I talk about something sacred geometry, I get 100,000 views on TikTok. I'm like, okay, why did no one pay attention in high school geometry? And now everyone's like, holy crap, I wish they would have taught us this. It's like, there's no synthesis of why the shapes are doing what they're doing. Why do we need to learn this? What does all of it mean? And that's I think a huge problem in education. And my goal with the TikTok and the Instagram was always to be like, there's a better way of teaching. Cause I hated school. I absolutely hated it. Even though I was very good at it, I was like, this is such a waste of my time. Don't know what's going on. No one can explain to me these things. So I'm that with this new one, I'm trying to kind of bridge that gap between it. But the point I was trying to make there was all of this, all of the geometry from that quantum scale up to what we see the patterns in galaxies, what we see in the patterns in our own body, it is the same throughout the entire system. And it's because nature follows these rules because it's the most efficient way to do things. And the faster we can learn that, the better our technology is going to be, the better our food is going to be, the better our health is going to be. It all starts with knowing that it's all connected from all scales, and that mirroring those patterns is the most efficient way to do things that we can possibly do. They did this in the cathedrals, in ancient temples. All of that architecture is just a reflection of the patterns that were happening from the smallest scales to the largest. So I think that's kind of really the point I was trying to drive home with this book, is there is meaning other than being able to calculate a hypotenuse in shapes. Yeah. And it's way deeper than most people think. And I hope it'll be a kind of eye opener, because once I learned this, I had an entirely different outlook on life, and it's improved my life, but I can't even describe how much.
Well, what's amazing is, I mean, we chatted about this, kind of like bringing it all together, which is kind of like, how the fuck are you going to bring all this together? It's pretty complex. It's so simple because we talked about it. Every single disease, every single symptom is stress, and it's just a variety, different vibration of stress. What is stress? Not being efficient. That's all it is. So figuring out some tools to be able to be most efficient in your life, which is always connected to what's most important to you. It's always serving yourself. It's always in alignment with who you are. And to be able to know who you are, which is a combination, small combination of the Newtonian physics, stops spending so much time on the physical body.
Very small.
Starts learning and spending some more time in the quantum.
Yep.
Understanding it to be able to actually become the architect in that field of space. And that will completely change your physical life in this reality.
100%. Then that gives you the tools that we talked about, where you can access that at will to actually steer your life instead of drifting around and being like, I don't understand why this is happening. You know, yeah. clarity, order, thought is the solution to all problems. And what is order fundamentally? It's geometry. That's how we tell order from chaos. Are they straight lines? Are they, you know, where's the angles here? Was this artificial? Is this human? At the bare minimum that you can get out of this, understanding the quantum is going to at least give you some sort of order on the smallest scale you can possibly imagine, which is the first baby step into taking control of your life and taking back control of your health and your mental clarity and everything.
I never thought about it in that like micro to macro kind of scale, but yeah, that's all you're doing is we're trying to decrease entropy. And what's the best way to do it? To go at that zero point where that entropy is created. So get into that small quantum realm and literally start creating your own life. How do you create? Through sacred geometry.
Absolutely.
Boom. Well, and thank you for being on this. I'm sure you blew some other people's minds. My mind was like, I got a couple more things to research. As always, every single time you open your mouth, I'm like, ooh, piece of candy. I need it. All right, guys, until next time. Been a pleasure.
Thanks, man.
We thank you so much for being an avid listener of Integrative You Radio, formerly known as Integrative Wellness Radio. We appreciate all of your support. We love your comments. Please visit us on social media as well as our website to see all of the fun things happening behind the scenes and the new amazing content and courses that is being rolled out on a monthly basis. We hope to see you there.